We are in a message series called Believe, because what you believe matters. And the title of today's message is Quality Time. Our theme today is offering our time to God. And here's the key idea. The key idea is I invest my time in fulfilling God's purposes. Now, I'm going to do something really, really scary. You ready? I'm going to take off my watch. And I'm going to put it in my pocket where I can't even see it. And for those of you who are really alarmed, don't worry. There's a big clock right back here in the back. They always make sure that it's, you know, 2 or 3 minutes fast or so. So it's there. But I'm doing this as a simple illustration that, we like to ask, what time is it? That's a significant question. But a better question is, how am I using my time? Now, we talk about time a lot. We have a number of phrases. For example, here are a few. Time is on my side. Time heals all wounds. Time is money. Time is of the essence. Only time will tell. We're making good time. We're making up for lost time. It's a quiet time, a special time. It's a waste of time. Give me the time of day. Quality time. It's howdy doody time. It's party time. Time flies when you're having fun. Just in time. In due time. It's about time. We're making good time. Time's up. Ronnie, you probably are going to go over time. Two-timer, double time, full time, half time. It's about time, time and time again. We talk about quantity time, and again, the title today is quality time. And here's a question. Let me put this question up on the screen. How would God want me to use my time? How would God want me to use my time? Now, Jesus made this statement one time out of Matthew chapter 6. He said, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things that you may worry and fret over, will be given to you as well. What he's saying here is that in honoring God first with our life, this is not just a wispy honoring. It's something very, very tangible and measurable. We give God first place, and it can be seen in our calendar. Okay, I've got 2 or 3 points I want to underscore today, and here's the first one. You ready? Arranging your schedule is a holy endeavor. Now, talking about your calendar and your schedule, this might sound very pedestrian and mundane. I believe it's a holy endeavor, because in managing our schedule, it's not just about getting things done. It's about, you know, here's what I want to do over the next 6 weeks. No, it's more about the kind of person that I want to become. And I want to recommend to you that when you think of having your schedule and your calendar in front of you, that you make it very comprehensive, make it very holistic. For example, some of you, you've got young children at home, and in your calendar, at least 3 or 4 nights a week, ideally, you're writing in home, because that being home is as important. It's more important than a board meeting or an acquisition meeting or anything you can do. In my line of work, there's always another meeting I can go to. There's always another conversation I can have. It never runs out. When my children were home, I had to put it in my calendar. Home. This is where I'm going to be. Now, the Bible talks about this. The Bible talks about you establishing certain pillars around which you build your time. For example, I got to tell you, sometimes it breaks my heart when I see folks, especially when I see parents with their children, and they still operate on the coin-flipping thing when it comes to being in church. Hey, are we going to go today? Well, let's flip a coin. The Bible says, make a decision and build your life around these commitments in your schedule. The book of Hebrews, for example, says this, let us consider, give some thought, how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging together. Do you see what he says? Not Don't stop meeting together. He says, make this a part of your schedule, your flow, because managing your schedule is a holy, holy endeavor. Of Jesus, it was said in Luke 4, Jesus went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, notice, as was his what? As was his custom. In other words, you can become the person God's inviting you to become one calendar square at a time. Some of you, if your marriage is not going particularly well, you write in your calendar, date night. Once a week, once every two, date night. And we've been talking about the need to go see a counselor. We're going to call, we're going to make that appointment. We're going to put it in the schedule. Home. Or, you know, I'm thinking about, I really need to be more connected in the church. And if you were to say that to me, I would say, you got a calendar on you? Tell you what, let's do. Let's stop by GroupLink out here. Let's pick up a catalog. Let's get this in the calendar that our next small group season, beginning February the 25th, you'll be a part of that, and it will become a part of your weekly schedule for 6 to 7 weeks or so. All right? Now, everybody here knows that there's a cumulative effect over time. Small, incremental doses of time invested in worthwhile activities bring about powerful gains. Powerful. So you look back over the last 6 months or over the last 3 months or over the last year, whether it be exercise or developing a skill or your spiritual life or a relationship, you wouldn't look back and say, you know, it was this conversation on October the 24th, or it was this particular worship service on that. No. But the cumulative effect over time brings about significant results. All right. So managing your schedule, it's a holy endeavor. Here's the second thing I want to underscore regarding time. That is that wherever you are, you can be fully engaged on purpose. I heard Charles Swindoll speak several years ago, and he made the comment, he said, wherever you are, be all there. Wherever you are, be engaged on purpose. When you think about it, many early Christians were what? They were slaves. And their question was, how can we offer to God anything when our very time is not even our own? Answer, how you do your work. Working for the Lord and not for man, but doing your work for Jesus. That is an offering very well spent. That's quality time. My friends, your vocation matters to God. It's not secular work, it's sacred work. And it's an altar of worship by how you view your job and do your job. You are employed by God. Moms at home, entrusted with small children, those are holy moments. And as you sing to your children and pray with your children in the ordinary flow of life, you are present to them. Sometimes you're tired, but you're present. And that's an offering of time to God. Wherever you are, what's your purpose? Colossians 3 says it like this, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, we do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, honoring him. When you coach Little League Baseball, when you volunteer in the community, when you do your vocation, when you're there on purpose, I'm here to be the light of the world. I'm here to be the salt of the earth. I'm here to represent Christ. That's quality time. And you say, well, now, Ronnie, my goodness, you can't be on all the time. Of course you can't. Your energy diminishes. And that's why the Bible talks about having those times of periodic energy renewal. Somebody says life is a marathon. Not really. Life is a series of sprints where you are fully engaging for periods of time and then intentionally disengaging and pulling away. But wherever you are, you seek to be present in the moment. I'm not going to be a passive puddle of protoplasm. I'm actually here bringing some energy and focus and purpose. I mean, everybody knows that it's not just about showing up. It's about showing up and being engaged. We all know about mindlessness. Mindlessness is where you can be physically in one place, but mentally and emotionally elsewhere. You ever read a book, read a page, you get to the bottom of the page, and you don't even remember what you just read? Some of you don't even realize I just asked you a question right now. Mindlessness. Physically one place, mentally elsewhere. Wherever you are, coaching, working, you know what? The Lord says, this is valuable, but nobody sees it. Nobody's, you know, blogging about what I'm doing. And those quiet, private, hidden moments, you are honoring the Lord with quality time in your service to Him. All right, last thing I want to say is this. God tweaks our schedule out of our relationship with Him. Yeah, we seek to manage it. We do. We want to build our life around certain big rocks and certain wonderful habits. But out of our relationship with Him, God will tweak our schedule. Why? Because He's always up to something. God's always up to something. We don't have to come up with something for God to do. He's always at work, and He's what? And He's looking for people who are available that He can use in His work. Jesus said this out of John chapter 15. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. And no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you're the branches. And if a man remains in me and I am him, he will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. And what he's saying there is what? He is a living vine. We are branches. We're connected to Him. And it's out of that relationship where the Lord will use us and tweak us and assign something where with our schedule we're saying, Lord, how open my eyes to the opportunities that are around me for you to use me because I'm available. Now, it's easy to sometimes miss those opportunities. A few years ago, I was speaking in Clinton, Oklahoma for 4 days. And I was staying with a host family that I'd known for several years. And it's Tuesday morning. It's around 10 or 10:30. We'd already had breakfast together. I was back in my room, and I was looking over some notes for that night, and I was actually praying. I was praying. And I've been reading this book called Experiencing God, and I was praying, and this is my prayer. Lord, I want to be completely useful and available for you this week. And while I'm here, I'm asking that you might use me to help this church and to help their friends. I want to be sold out, available to you, so you use me to your honor this week. And there was a knock on my door. And the guy said, hey, Ronnie, so-and-so just called from church and said that, you know, he's a member of the largest civic club here in town, and their luncheon is today, and he can get the schedule cleared if you'd be willing to come down and speak. He just wants you to come down and talk about Scripture, talk about the Lord. Just give them a little sermon down there to the civic group. What a fantastic opportunity. And I said, well, Bill, I really appreciate that, but, you know, like, I didn't know about this. I didn't have any notes. I didn't bring any notes with me. I don't have like a PowerPoint to show. And while I appreciate the invitation, you know, I'm just going to respectfully decline. Thank you and just, you know, give my regrets. And I go back to praying. Lord, this week, use me completely to your, however I might be your vessel, just, and then it's like, you know, I could have had a V8. I could have been useful here. So I said, Bill, I'll tell you what, you call him back. I don't have any PowerPoint. I'm not going to be all that well prepared, but I can do something, and it would be my pleasure to do so. One person wrote about, and he said, we talk about following the steps of Jesus, but also be willing to follow the stops of Jesus. Because think about how many times Jesus stopped. He had his schedule, he had his plan, but he was stopped. He was interrupted. Jesus, I know you're planning to go right here, but would you turn left and come to my house and visit? God will tweak your schedule out of your relationship with him. All right, I want to close and look at one more scripture because this is so very, very important regarding time. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, and we close with this. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Let me declare that again. This is the day of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. All you've been waiting for and longing for, it starts today. And what the Bible wants you to know is that God's greatest and most comforting and most healing and most restorative work, it's not waiting for something down the line. It's already started. Now, that doesn't mean that everything God wants to do in you and for you, he's going to do right now today. There's still some waiting involved in the life of faith. Noah had to wait for the rain to stop and the waters to recede. The Israelites had to wait for God to raise up Moses to lead them from slavery. In at least 15 of the Psalms, the main theme is what? Waiting and being patient upon God's plans. Paul writes in Romans 8 that we're all waiting for our full adoption as God's children. Peter writes that we are waiting for a new heaven and a new earth. But here's the promise. While we're waiting for the fullness of what God will bring about, God is still working today. You might have to wait for the fullness, but you don't have to wait for Christ to be active in your life. He has comfort for you today. He has freedom for you today. He has purpose for you today. He has forgiveness for you today. And when you respond to him and you act in your faith, when you respond to him out of surrender and repentance, and as you're baptized into Christ, the word is not someday, it's this day. Today is the day of salvation. God bless you as you offer your time to the true and living God. He is worthy of every sacrificed minute. He is worthy of every minute you live on purpose.